Tonight's shiur is on stories from the Gemara. The title of the shiur is The Pleasure of Olam Haba. So tonight we're going to continue with our series of shiurim on stories in the Gemara that have a more human tone to them. They're kind of anti-religious in nature, but they seem to point us to a deeper philosophical idea. So let's look at source number one. It's a very short story, but it'll be a springboard to an interesting idea about Olam Haba. So in source number one, it's the Gemara Avodah Zarah, Daf Samech Amud Aleph, and the story is as follows. Rava Amti Le Korbana Levar Shishach B'Yom Edom. Rava sent a gift to a man named Bar Shishach on the day of his holiday. He wasn't Jewish. Amar, Rava said, Yadana Be Delo Palach La'Avodas Kol Chavim. I know for a fact that he doesn't worship idols, and therefore it's not a problem for me to send a gift to him on his holiday, because normally there is a problem. You're worried that the non-Jew is going to thank the idol for the gift. But here, this man, Bar Shishach, who wasn't Jewish, was not an Oved Avodah Zarah. So Rava knew that. Azal Ashkeche di Yosef ad Savare Bevarda vekaiman zonos arumos kameh. So the story is that after Rava sent him the gift, he encountered him. He came to visit him, and he found that this man, Bar Shishach, was in a bath full of rose petals. Vekaiman zonos arumos kameh. And there are all these naked prostitutes in front of him. Look at Rashi, Bevarda b'merchatz shel varadim. So he was, Bar Shishach was taking a bath in this bath full of rose petals with these naked prostitutes, and Rava comes across him. Amar le, islechu ki agavna l'alma d'asi. So Bar Shishach says to Rava, do you have something like this in the next world, in Olam Haba? Okay, so this is the start of the story. Amar le, so he said, didan adifa tfei mehai. So Rava said to Bar Shishach that our pleasure, what we experience in Olam Haba is greater than what you're experiencing. So Amar Lei, Tfei Mehai Mihava, how is that possible? So Bar Shishach said, how is it possible that the pleasure in the next world in Olam Haba is greater than the pleasure that he was experiencing or going to experience? So Amar Lei, he said back to him, Atun Ika Laichu Emsa de Malchusa. You have the fear of the Melech, the fear of the king upon you. Anan lo tehavi alan emasa de malchusa. But after we die in Olam Haba, we don't have that. We won't have the fear of the king upon us. So Amar Lei said back to him, Ana miha mai emasa de malchusa ikalai. So Bar Shishach said, what do you mean? I don't have any fear of the king upon me. Adi yasvi asahu parsiksa de malka. So after he finished, this messenger, this courier from the king approached him. Amar Lei kum de kabay lach malka. And this messenger said to Bar Shishach, the Melech, Bar Shishach, the Melech wants you. Get up and the Melech wants you. Okay, so the story is, let me just summarize up to this point, and then we'll keep going. But the story is interesting. Rava sends a gift to his friend who's not Jewish, but not an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. And then later on, he actually encounters him. And his friend is sitting in a bath full of rose petals with naked prostitutes in front of him. And he challenges Rava and says, do you have anything to this level of pleasure in the next world? And Rava's explanation is, yeah, we have better than that. So he said, what do you mean? What do you mean you have better? So he said, we don't have any fear of the Melech. So Bar Shishach says, I don't have any fear of the Melech. And as soon as they were finished speaking, the Melech had sent a courier to go get him. And this messenger said to him, get up and go visit the Melech. So now we're up to like four lines up from the bottom. Ki nafik v'azil. So when he left, when Bar Shishach left, Amar le, ena debay lemechse lechu bishusa tifka. Anybody who wants to wish you harm, this is what Bar Shishach said to Rava, their eyes should be taken out, uprooted. Amar le Rava amen. So Rava said, I agree with you. Paka ene de Bar Shishach. And as soon as that happened, Bar Shishach's eye either fell out or burst. The Amar, so that's the end of the story, the first story. Okay, so basically, at the end of the story, when he leaves to go to the king, Bar Shishach says to Rava that his insight was great, I guess, and he says, anybody who wishes harm upon you, Rava, so you should be, their eye should be uprooted, and Rava agrees, and then as he leaves, his eye gets uprooted. This is Bar Shishach. Okay, and then he keeps going. Amar Rapapi, Ibai le lememra le mehai kra. So Rapapi says that he should have said this from this pasuk, meaning Rava shouldn't have said the Ema de Malchus, he should have given a different reason. Benos malachim biikrusecha nitzva shigal leminecha bekesem ofir. So it's a pasuk from Tehillim. Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Yibay Le Lemeimer Le Mahacha, Ein Lo Rasa Elokim, Zulasecha Yasa Lemchakela. And he quotes a different pasuk from Yeshaya. So we'll look at those other two pasukim. But the basic premise of the story is that there seems to be a discussion as to the nature of the pleasure of Olam Haba. And this non-Jew, Bar Shishach, is challenging Rava by being in the situation of pleasure, where he's in the bathhouse, he's got the rose petals, and he has the naked women in front of him. And Rava says, you still have, there's still Emo de Malchus upon you. There's still a fear of the Melech. And he says, what do you mean? And he says, we won't have it, but you still have it. And as soon as they were finished speaking, the king's messenger came and took him away. So the question is, what's the purpose of the story? Obviously, that's a question. But also, what's this idea that Rava had about Emo de Malchus? What is that concept? And why did Bar Shishach's eye burst? Because he says to Rava, anybody who wishes harm upon you, their eye should burst. And Bar Shishach, as soon as he said that, his eye burst. So the question is, what is this referring to? What's that idea? Why did his eye burst? I thought they were friends. Bar Shishach was friends with Rava. So what exactly is going on here? That's the question. And then afterwards, we'll go into the other psukim as to the other ideas of pleasure in Olam Haba. But the first question is, what's this concept that Rava is expressing about the nature of the pleasure of Olam Haba to Bar Shishach, and he eventually accepts it, and then he loses his eye as a result of that. So what is this? What's this talking about? So we're just going to go straight into the first idea. So the first idea, to answer the ikar of the story, but then we'll use it as a springboard to other ideas in Olam Haba, was a concept that I saw, happened to come upon in quoted in this one of these commentaries on the Gemara, Chavrusa, but I had this idea myself, and then I saw it in writing. So if you look in source number 3, he explains partially what Rava is saying to Bar Shishach. What exactly is this exchange here? It says, Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milovlin. So Rav Tzadok from Luvlin, Ma'amik Lebar Es Hadin Udvarim Shahaya Bein Rava Levar Shishach. So he tried to explain and give insight into this exchange between Rav and Bar Shishach about Olam Haba. He needs that barer, so it's clear, Sh'inyan Aschar Ba'olam Haba Havai, Inyan Aschar Ba'olam Haba Hu, Miloi Ritzono V'Tavaso Shel Adam V'Shalva Gemura. So the schar, the reward of Olam Haba, is the fulfillment of man's desire to be in complete tranquility. Shalva means tranquility. Below Shum Ma'akvim Umenius. There shouldn't be any type of prevention, anything that's stopping him. And then it says, Derech She'amru Bikesh Yaakov Lisha B'Shalva. And it says by Yaakov that he wanted to just have peace and quiet. Uva Satan V'Kitreg. And the Satan came and aroused everything. Lo Dai Lahem L'Tzadikim B'Mash M'Sukin Lahem L'Olam Haba. Is not enough that Tzadikim get this tranquility in the next world. Elisha Mavakshim Lisha B'Shalva B'Olam Hazeh. They also want to be peaceful and not have anything chaotic in their life in this world. The idea of the reward of Olam Haba, who miloi kol ritzonosav shel adam b'shalva. So it's really the idea of man's desire for peacefulness, tranquility. Vizu haisa ta'anaso shel Bar Shishach. This was the taina of Bar Shishach. Shekfar b'olam hazeh mismalos kol ta'avosav ritzonosav b'ein mafriya. That all of his wishes and desires had been fulfilled without anything stopping him. Ana lo Rava, so Rava said, Atem emas malchus aleichem. You still have the fear of the king upon you. Klomar, emas amalchus monas mikem lehanos b'shalva gemura. The fear of the king prevents you from being in complete tranquility. Ach anu ba'olam haba yismalu kol ritzonosav be'in kol mafriya. But we, when we get Olam Haba, all of our desires for peacefulness and tranquility and pleasure will be fulfilled without anything preventing us, without anything stopping us from experiencing it. So what exactly is he saying, Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milovlin, in his explanation of the idea of pleasure in Olam Haba? So I think he's giving us some insight, some deep insight into what was going on here between Bar Shishach and Rava. So what's the idea of Emas Malchus, the idea of a person having the fear of the king? So what about the king himself? Maybe the king himself can be able to experience pleasure to the level of Olam Haba. So I think he's saying, what I think Rava is saying is that man is naturally anxious. There's always things that man is afraid of. It's part of our nature. We're always anxious and fearful of everything, whether it's the king, whether it's the government, or even anxiety about money, anxiety about job, anxiety about health. There, all these anxieties exist, and it's impossible for a man, for a human being in this world, to exist in a state where there's no anxiety at all. There's always some fear. There's always some level of nervousness that a man experiences, and even if it's not conscious, it could be unconscious. And Bart Rubba's point is that when a person's anxiety prevents him from experiencing pleasure to the utmost, because there's always that level of, there's always that fear, there's always that element in a person's mind, whether it be conscious or unconscious, that holds him back from getting fully engrossed in the pleasure that he's involved in. So as much as Bar Shishach was trying to show Rava that the pleasure that he was experiencing was all engrossing, and he was completely engaged in it, and it couldn't be, nothing like that could be compared to the pleasure that he was experiencing, Rava was showing him that your pleasure is lacking, because there's always an element of fear, anxiety that exists in your mind, whether it be conscious or unconscious, that prevents you from really getting engrossed completely in the pleasure. So even, I know nowadays, even for Bizman Hazeh, when we go on vacation, I mean, you try to experience vacation and really enjoy it, but there's always a part of you, for most people, normal people, there's always that anxiety, there's always thinking about your job, thinking about something, there's always some thought or some idea of nervousness that exists, and obviously it's unhealthy for it to take over your life and to prevent you from having any pleasure, but it always exists. It never allows man to get completely engrossed in the pleasure that he's involved in. But in Olam Haba, the point of Rava is that there's not going to be any type of preventative, there's not going to be any idea of anxiety or fear that exists to prevent us from fully experiencing and engrossing ourselves in the pleasure that we'll experience in Olam Haba. So at the end of the day, it says that anybody who wishes harm on Rava should be, their eye should burst out. And then what ends up happening is Bar Shishach's eye burst out. So what is that? So it sounds like, based on our theory, based on the Svara, it sounds like what happened was that Rava was pointing out something that was more unconscious in Bar Shishach. And as soon as Rava made it conscious, as soon as Rava showed him that it exists, so it prevented Bar Shishach from getting the pleasure. It was more of a preventative, because now it was conscious. It prevented him, and it was natural for him to be angry at Rava, to have some type of hatred, because Rava just basically shattered his whole idea, his whole pleasure experience. So the idea was that his eye was uprooted, meaning that as soon as Rava gave him this point, this idea, this concept, that he couldn't escape, so he had a natural anger towards Rava. He had a natural wish for Rava to be harmed in order to avoid this, in order to try to avoid this reality, this concept. So the concept is that as soon as he heard this, his eye popped out, as he had explained to Rava, because it shows you that as soon as he was opened up to this reality, to this truth, he couldn't escape a natural anger towards Rava, because it shattered his whole pleasure experience somewhat. Okay, so that's the insight into the story. So again, just the insight is that the pleasure in this world is always hampered. There's always some element that hinders us from fully being engrossing in a pleasure, even if it's the most pleasurable experience. It's the nature of man to have an anxiety, to have some type of fear or nervousness that prevents us from being engrossed in our pleasures. And Rav is saying that Olam Haba, the pleasure is not like that. It doesn't have any restrictions that the pleasures of this world contain. But then also, once Bar Shishach was aware of this, there was a natural anger towards Rava, because Rava took an unconscious idea and made it conscious for him, made him more aware of it, and that prevented him from truly experiencing even more pleasure in the future. So that's the idea of the story. But then Rav Papa has a different idea that he should have said to him, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak has a different idea. So let's explore the other ideas, but that's the first point. So Rav Papa says, let's go back to the Gemara. It's three lines up in source number one. Amar a puppy. So actually, a puppy. Ibai le lememer le mahaikra. He should have quoted a different pasuk to answer Bar Shishach. When Bar Shishach asked him, is your next world greater than the pleasure of this world? He should have said like this. Benos malachim. Look at source number four. Benos malachim biyikru secha nitzva shegal liminecha bekesem ofir. So what does that mean? It means that the daughters of kings should visit you, and the queen will stand to your right in gold from jewelry from Ophir. So look at the Mitzudas David. It says, Biikru secha, bikores shelcha bahen, you af benos malachim. Those that visit you will even be the daughters of kings. Nitzva shegal, Hamalka tia nitzva biminecha. The queen will be standing by your right. Mekushetes bekesem ofir. She'll have jewelry from ofir. Vakolhu mashal legodel hatainug v'mamshala. So it's all a mashal to the greatness of the pleasure and the rulership. Okay, so that's the pshat of the pasuk. One of the explanations given was, I can't remember where I saw it, was that basically, well, let's keep going and then I'll explain it. Look in source number 6, Chavrusa, the same guys before, the same commentary. Al pi pshuto hischaber shirzeh al yidei b'nei Korach liyom nisui shlomo im bas melech tzur. So the pshat is that b'nei Korach set up this shir when Shlomo got married to Melech Tzur, to the daughter of Melech Tzur. Af rabosinu darshuhu, our rabbis explain, l'schar tamidei chachamim b'yimos ha-mashiach. So they explain that it's referring to the schar in yimos ha-mashiach. Our Gemara explains that it's referring to schar in Olam Haba. But it says to look at the Malbim. So let's look at the Malbim on that pasuk. Look in source number 7. It says, b'nos malachim, hinei l'simchas klulos halazu, his asvu, based on this, for this type of simcha, his asvu kama b'nos malachim shebo l'chvodo. All these daughters of the kings came to show as a sign of respect for Shlomo. Ve'alze amru b'nos malachim bo ata b'ikrusecha. It's referring to the idea that when Shlomo got married, all these daughters of kings, king's daughters, went to visit. Bein abano shebo l'chvodecha ulam nitzva shegali minecha b'kesem ofir. And aside from all these women that visited to show respect, the queen was standing next to him in Kesem Ophir. Hashagal ha'umedes liminecha hi nitzva al kulam umisroam memes aleim bekesem Ophir. So the queen that was standing next to him was the greatest of all the women, of all the daughters of kings, and she was wearing this beautiful clothing and beautiful jewelry. Yamlitz shekmosha Kesem Ophir yakar min azav, just like the Kesem Ophir is greater, more precious than the gold, kachi nitzva al kulam befe'er v'hod. She is standing upon all of them in her beauty. The Amar liminecha, to the right of him, ki derech hamalachim she'isham yuedeslo lefi archo tamod b'shas hakidushin letzad yimino. The woman, back in those days, the woman that was really set up for the king would stand to his right. Va'isha she'ina lefi archo v'chvodo tamod az letzad smolo. The woman who wasn't befitting for the king would stand to the left. Ba'al ze amru nitzva shegal liminecha roi lechvodecha. It means that the queen should stand to your right, the woman who's fit for your level of respect. So it's the pasuk is referencing the concept that the king is standing there, Shlomo, standing there, or the king, with his beautiful queen to his right, the queen that's befitting his, you know, his kavod, and all the other women are also there as well, but they're not standing to his right. So somehow Rav Papi explains that this is the response that Ravu was supposed to have to Bar Shishach. So Bar Shishach, again, Bar Shishach is this non-Jews bathing in these rose petal water with all these naked prostitutes, and he's supposed to say to him this pasuk, that the daughters of kings will visit you, and your queen will stand to your right. And it's a reference to Olam Haba, according to the Gemara. I saw one of the Pirushim explain that it's an idea that it's a comparison, that he was with the Zonos, with the prostitutes, and Ravu is saying ours is better, because in our world, in Olam Haba, we have women that are more dignified. Like the queen is standing next to you, it's more dignified women. You have Zonos in front of you, Zonos or Rumos, but in the next world, we have beautiful women and dignified women. So the question is, what's this idea of Olam Haba? I mean, it sounds very non-Jewish, it sounds very Muslim, where they have this idea, this concept that in the next world, they have all these women, the men get all these women in the next world, but we don't have that idea in Judaism, it doesn't seem like. So what is this pasuk alluding to? If it's not referring to the physical pleasure of Tashmish Amita, and it's not referring to that, so then what is it referring to? What exactly is the concept that he's trying to express to Bar Shishach? So now this is the second point. The second point in the shir. The second point in the shir is a uniqueness to the pleasure of Olam Haba as opposed to the pleasure of Olam Hazeh. So what's the distinction? So in the pleasure of Olam Hazeh, the more a person seeks out pleasure, the more animalistic a person gets. So what ends up happening is that the most pleasure a person experiences is the most animalistic element of man. So you see this Bar Shishach. He's standing there with these Zonos, with these prostitutes, and he's ready to involve himself with them. But what Ravu was saying to him is that when man seeks out that pleasure and engages in that pleasure, if you want to experience it, there's always a degradation of man's respect. Man ends up being acting more like an animal in that sense. And you see that that in the story, he's with Zonos. He's with these prostitutes, women who are getting hired for this purpose, as opposed to dignified women, as opposed to Bas Malka. So the idea that Rove is expressing is that in this world, pleasure is somewhat limited because in order to achieve it, a person has to degrade himself somewhat. He has to act like an animal and be like an animal. But in the next world, the pleasure that's experienced in Olam Haba doesn't have any element of degradation. That's the idea that the queen is standing to your right, one who's fitting for your kavod. It means that the pleasure of the next world has no element of degradation of man. No, there's no element of cheapness. There's no element of man's dignity being lowered as a result of the activity. As opposed to Bar Shishach, as much as he wanted to show off that his pleasure was greater than the pleasure of the next world, Rav is pointing out a deficiency in his pleasure, that in being engaged in his pleasure, he had to lower himself, degrade himself, by being with these prostitutes, with these zonos. It's a sign or an idea that man seeking pleasure in this world always has an element of the animalistic and the degradation of the human quality, the human mind. Whereas the pleasure of the next world doesn't have that. It doesn't have any element of degradation attached to it. So that's the next concept in Olam Haba, the pleasure of Olam Haba. So far we have two insights into the pleasure of Olam Haba. One is that the pleasure of Olam Haba isn't restricted by any element of anxiety or nervousness, whereas the pleasure of this world always has a deficiency in the sense that a man can never get engrossed fully in his pleasure because of the element of anxiety, nervousness that always exists, that fear. And then the second point is that in order for a man to achieve the highest levels of pleasure in this world, there's always an element of degradation of man. There's always an animalistic quality, something beneath his dignity. But in the next world, the pleasure that man experiences is not one where there's any degradation of man's kavod, of his respect. So that's the second idea. Okay, so there's one other point. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the last idea in the Gemara, in source number one. Anybody have any questions or want to stop me right now? Okay, that's good. So the last idea is Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Yibar Yilei L'meim Rolei Mechacha, Ayin Lo Rasa Elokim, Zula Secha Yaseh L'mechake Lo. So look at source number eight, that's the Pasuk. Umaolam lo shamu lo hazinu. Here's the whole pasuk. Ayin lo rasa elokim zulascha yaseh lemchakela. So for no one ever heard or perceived, and no eye has seen except for God's eye, yaseh lemchakela, will perform for those who wait for Him. So what does that mean? What is that referring to? That pasuk. So what exactly was Rava supposed to respond to Bar Shishach? So there's a quote. To this Gemara in Brachos. It quotes the same pasuk. And the Gemara in Brachos says like this. It says, Amar of Chia bar Ava, Amar of Yochanan. Look in source number 9. It's Brachos daf lamedal namabes. Kol neviim kulon lo nisnabu elolim most Mashiach. All the neviim give nevuas about Yemos Mashiach. Aval olam haba, but with regard to the next world, olam haba, ayin lo rasa elokim zulascha. So no man has seen it, no eye has seen it, except for God. Upliga the Shmuel and Tzmachlokas with Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel in Bein Olam Azel Yimus Mashiach El Shibud Malchios Belvad Shneamar Kileich Dal Yomi Karev Arts. So Tzmachlokas about the nature of Yimus Mashiach, which we're not going to get into, whether Yimus Mashiach is a different natural setting or it's just the laws that we have it today. But the Gemara says that no Nevi'im ever gave Nevuah about Olam Haba, only about Yimus Mashiach, because Olam Haba is restricted. Only Hashem has ever seen Olam Haba. No man has seen Olam Haba. No living man. So what does that mean? We have to explain that. What exactly is that? So anybody have any possibilities? What exactly does it mean that no Navi has ever given Nevuah about Olam Haba, only about Yemos Mashiach? So what is that concept? So this is the third idea. And it quotes the Pasuk. Ayin lo rasa elokim zulascha. Same Pasuk as we saw before. So I think it's simple, the last idea in the Gemara. Look in source number 10. This is famous. So, Margala Befume de Rav. It's Brachos Daf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph. This was pearl in the mouth of Rav. Lo ka'olam hazeh ha'olam haba. Olam haba is not like this world. Ha'olam haba ein bo at lo achila v'lo shesia v'lo peria v'rivya v'lo maso umatan v'lo kina v'lo sina v'lo tachros. Ela tzadikim yoshin v'atrosan v'roshan menanim m'ziv ashchina. So in the next world, what's the difference between this world and the next world? In this world, there's eating and drinking, there's all these physical pleasures, but in the next world, there's no eating, there's no drinking, there's no cohabitation, there's no business, no jealousy, no hatred, none of these emotions exist. Rather, tzaddikim sit there with their crowns on their heads, and they get pleasure from the ziva shechina, from the glow of the shechina. Shenamar, as it says, vayechazu es Elokim vayochlu vayishtu, that when they went up to Har Sinai, some of the zakenim got to see some of the elements of the shechina, and it says they ate and they drank, and that means that they got hana, they got pleasure as if they were eating and drinking. Rashi, look in source number 11, vayochlu vayishtu savu miziv shechina kiilu achlu v'shasu. The satisfaction they got was as if they ate and drank from the shechina. So what is the third idea? The third idea is that Olam Haba, the pleasure of Olam Haba, isn't comparable to the pleasure of this world because it's non-physical. And that's what it means. That's what the Gemara means, that no man, no Navi has ever written about it or said any Nevuah about it. Why? Because man can't perceive it. It's impossible. When you're connected to the physical world, it's impossible to really perceive what Olam Haba truly is. And man is limited. Only Hashem can see it with his eye, meaning it's a non-physical existence that man can't really perceive completely. So that's why man can't give nevuah about it. He can't give any type of nevuah. But Yemos Mashiach, you can. There's some elements of nature that exist in Yemos Mashiach, but Olam Haba is non-physical. And the Gemara explains that there's no eating and drinking. It's just, there's an idea there that the tzaddikim would sit and they would get benefit from the Shechina, meaning that it's a non-physical existence. So the third idea that Rava was supposed to say to Bar Shishach is really that the pleasure of the next world is qualitatively distinct from the pleasure of this world. The pleasure of this world is limited to physicality, to something that's tied to the physical. But the pleasure of the next world is completely non-physical. It has no connection to the physical world, and man can't even perceive it completely. So in terms of comparing the two, it's impossible to compare the two because man is limited. His pleasure is limited by the physical. But in the next world, there's no limitation. It's completely in the realm of the non-physical. So there's three ideas here, just to summarize, and then we'll get to another interesting point as a tied into the Olam Haba, the pleasure of Olam Haba. But there's three ideas to the story. The first idea is that the pleasure of Olam Haba doesn't have the deficiencies of the pleasure of this world. And what are those deficiencies? There's three potential deficiencies. The pleasure of this world is limited because man's nature is to have fear, anxiety, nervousness, and that's part of man's nature, and it prevents him from fully engrossing in a pleasurable experience. There's a degradation of man's quality of Tzelem Elokim when he's engaged in pleasure in this world. And you see that from Bar Shishach. He was trying to find the greatest amount of pleasure, and he was with these zonos, with these prostitutes. But pleasure in the next world is dignified. There's no deficiency in the lowering of man's quality of greatness, of respect, of self-respect. And the last idea is that Olam Haba isn't restricted to the physical. There's a restriction to the pleasure of the physical world, but in the Olam Haba is a non-physical existence, and it doesn't have a pleasure that's restricted or tied to the physical. So it's a completely different existence, and man can't even perceive it. So that's the third idea of the pleasure of Olam Haba. So those are the three ideas. So being with all that information, there's still another Gemara here that's fascinating also. So look, any questions? Okay. So look in source number 13. This is a doozy also. Shlosha me'ein Olam Haba. There are three experiences that man has. This is brachos, daf nun zayin amud beis, sorry. Shlosha me'ein Olam Haba. There's three experiences that man has that have some resemblance to the next world, to Olam Haba. Elohein, Shabbos. So when Jewish people experience Shabbos, that's me'ein Olam Haba. Shemesh, the sun. Rashi, look at Rashi 14. Chamazorachas, the sunrise, is also equivalent or somewhat similar to Olam Haba. V'tashmish, and also tashmish. So what is tashmish? Tashmish demai. So what does tashmish mean? Ilema tashmish amita, if it's bia, if it's relations, ha mechachesh kachesh. So that makes you weak. So the Gemara says that man is weakened by that. Ela tashmish nekavim. It means going to the bathroom. So there's three experiences that are similar to Olam Haba. What are they? One is Shabbos. Kind of makes sense, right? The second one is Shemesh, sunrise. Okay. And the last one is Tashmish, which means Tashmish Nekavim. It's a reference to the pleasure of going to the bathroom. So why are these chosen? So Shabbos kind of, you kind of get, but Shemesh we'll have to explain more, and Shabbos also, but Tashmish is the hard one. The idea of going to the bathroom is somehow a precursor to the pleasure of the next world, of Olam Haba. What's the relationship between going to the bathroom and that? So how do we explain that? Okay, so look in source number 15. Before we explain it, we'll just do Shabbos first, and then we'll try to explain what the three are. So Shabbos, what do you think Shabbos is? A person would think that it's referring to the Menucha of Shabbos. Look at the Marsha. He says, L'cha'ora mishum shu yom Menucha. It's because it's a day of rest. That's the pleasure of Olam Haba. Aval lo havidumya de'enach shemesh v'tashmish. But then it's not similar. If you say that that's what it's referring to, then it's not similar to the sun and the tashmish and going to the bathroom. Demishum hana naguba. Those are pleasure experiences. V'hainu ti'imas maichal. So what is it referring to? It's referring to eating on Shabbos. Kedarminan. As it says in Shabbos, Gemara Shabbos, Tavlin yeshba v'shabbos shema. There's a spice whose name is Shabbos. Okay, so the Marsha says, we're going to learn the Gemara like the Marsha, but the Marsha says that Shabbos is a reference to eating on Shabbos. And there's a special quality to eating on Shabbos. Look in the Gemara in Shabbos, source number 16. Amar lo kesar lo Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. So the Caesar said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Mipnei ma tavshil shel Shabbos recho nodef. Why does the food of Shabbos smell so good? It's such a good good smell when you come home, Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos itself. Why is it so good? So, Amar lo, Tavlin Echad Yeshlanu. We have a spice, V'Shabbos Shemo, and it's called Shabbos. She'anu Matilin L'socho. We put it inside the food, V'Recho Nodef, and it smells really good. So, Amar lo, Tein lo Hemenu. So, the Caesar said to Rav Yeshua ben Chananya, give me that spice. Amar lo, he said, Kol HaMeshamer Es HaShabbos. Anybody who keeps Shabbos, Mo'elo. Only then does it work. But if you don't keep Shabbos, then you don't get the spice or the good-smelling food, the extra good-smelling food. Okay, the Marsha explains that the Caesar thought that it was literal. He thought at first it was actually in the name of a spice called Shabbos. But in the end, he explains to him, no, it's really an experience. The experience of Shabbos is what makes the food smell better, and it's not the food itself. It's not the physical food itself. So what is this idea? What's this concept? And how do we explain that all these three things are me'en olam haba? In what sense are they me'en olam haba? Okay, so I think the idea is that all these three experiences have a mental component to them. They're not just physical, but they have a mental component. So the idea of eating on Shabbos is that a person in his framework of menucha, so he eats on Shabbos, it's onik Shabbos, and it fits into the whole purpose of Shabbos, where a person's supposed to be able to reflect on the idea of Briyas HaOlam, and through Oneg Shabbos and through eating, a person's able to achieve that state where they're able to enjoy the food better, and they're also able to engage their minds and be involved in learning about Hashem and learning about Briyas HaOlam. So the pleasure of eating on Shabbos isn't the pleasure of eating per se, but it's a pleasure that's attached to a mindful act, to the act of Shabbos, of learning on Shabbos, of thinking on Shabbos. And the idea of Shemesh is, what's the idea of Shemesh? There's a pleasure, there's a mental pleasure to experiencing sunrise. There's a beauty to it, and that's pleasurable. When a person sits outside and they watch the sunrise, there's a physical experience, but it results in more of a mental pleasure in experiencing the beauty of sunrise. And the last thing is the idea of going to the bathroom. So what's the idea of going to the bathroom? So this is a hard one. But I think the concept is that when a person has to go to the bathroom and they have to go, there's usually a part of your mind is dedicated and focused on that. You think about it. Everyone I'm sure has been in the car. This happens to me all the time. You're in the car and you have to go to the bathroom and you keep thinking, when am I going to be able to stop? How long is it going to be till I get to the next rest stop? What am I supposed to do if I don't make it? So we have all these experiences, these thoughts racing through our minds. So you see that going to the bathroom, it takes up a lot of mental energy frequently. And then after you finish going to the bathroom, there's almost like a freedom that the mind has to now not engage in that and be able to be open to any experience, open to the future experiences, open to thinking, open to experience. So the pleasure of going to the bathroom is that it frees the mind up, I think. One of the pleasures of going to the bathroom is that it frees the mind up from all the energy that I put into that experience. And it's a pleasurable. It's pleasurable when now that pressure and even the mental pressure, the psychological pressure, has kind of been relieved. That's why you say you relieved yourself. So the idea is that you feel relieved. And once you feel relieved, now there's a pleasure to that of being free and your mind being, you know, not being occupied with that. So I think that the concept of Me'ein Olam Haba is that the pleasure of Olam Haba is not physical. It's more tied to the soul, the experience of the soul. And all these pleasures are more of a not, have a non-physical element to them. The pleasure of eating on Shabbos isn't just the physical sensation of eating, but it's eating attached to the concept and the mindfulness of Shabbos. The idea of Shemesh is the concept of enjoying the pleasure of a sunrise, but that's not a physical. There's a physical impetus for that, but it's mental. It's a mental enjoyment. It's a pleasure. And even going to the bathroom, even though it's physical, but there's a tremendous amount of mental energy that a person expends. And once you go to the bathroom, there's a feeling or a sense of the mind being free from that occupation. So all those partake of the pleasure of Olam Haba, meaning that the pleasure of Olam Haba is not like that. They just partake of it in a simpler manner. But the pleasure of Olam Haba is a pleasure that's more similar to a mindful pleasure, more similar to a pleasure of man's ability to think and man's ability to feel a certain freedom of thought and a certain enjoyment of beauty, and also even eating for the purpose of feeding the mind. So those are all elements of mental pleasures. So I think that's what the Gemara is saying. I think the Gemara is saying that if you want to compare any types of pleasures to the pleasure of Olam Haba, you can tie it to these experiences where there's some element of physicality, but it's tied to the mental element. So I think that's the idea. Okay, so let me just summarize the shir. So really the shir started with the story, and then we used it as a springboard for ideas in Olam Haba. So the first story was an exchange between Rava and Bar Shishach. Bar Shishach was a non-Jew who was a pleasure seeker, I would say. He wasn't an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He's sitting in this bathhouse with rose petals and all these prostitutes, and Rava engages with him, and he says to Rava, is the pleasure of the next world better than this? And Rava says, yeah, it's better. So he says, why? So his answer was, because you have the fear of the king, and I don't, and we won't in the next world. So we said that that's a concept that man, it's impossible for man to fully engross himself in pleasure. There's always an element of anxiety, nervousness. For every man or woman, I would say, anyone in humanity has that element, and it kind of prevents man from, it prevents humanity from being engaged in pleasure fully. But in the next world, the pleasure doesn't have those deficiencies. Then Rav Papi says it's a different idea, that in this world, there's a degradation of man when he seeks pleasure. There's a degradation, but in the next world, pleasure has no association with degradation. There's no deficiency. And the last idea is that the pleasure of the next world is non-physical. It's not really restricted to the physical world. There's no achila and shasiya. It's a non-physical pleasure. Then finally, we said that the Gemara in Brachos has three comparisons or three comparable situations to the pleasure of Olam Haba. And that's eating on Shabbos. The second one is enjoying a sunrise. And the third one is the idea of going to the bathroom. So we said that all three have a mental component to them, that they're physical experiences, but they have an effect on the mind of man. And eating on Shabbos puts man in the state of mind where he can reflect on God as the Borei Olam. And enjoying the Shemesh also is a pleasurable experience because you enjoy the beauty of creation. And even going to the bathroom, I was saying going to the bathroom frees a person's mind. A person feels that their mind isn't occupied with that anymore, and they kind of feel relieved. And that sense of relief is really beneficial for man. It's pleasurable. So that even that idea is partakes of the pleasure of Olam Haba, which is a non-physical pleasure. All right, so that's the shir tonight. Anybody have any questions on the shir? All right, everyone, have a good Shabbos. Thank you so much. Have a good Shabbos.